This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. We are live on Amazon Amp, but as always, you can find all of our episodes wherever you get your podcasts at. Also, you know, the videos will be on the Volume's YouTube channel, so you can always check it out there if you don't get it here on Amp. But we are live, and I hope you tapped in. The Nuggets just completed the sweep versus the Los Angeles Lakers on the Lakers floor, headed to the NBA Finals for the first time in NBA history. And on the other side, we got a sweep happening. It's going on. It's happening. The Miami Heat are up 3-0 on the Boston Celtics. Now, something that I found very, very, very interesting is, like, I think this is the third time in 4 years the Miami Heat and the Celtics are playing against each other. And that's really been back and forth. And so there's something to think about with that series, but we'll get back to that. If you had either one of these teams winning the series, which some people definitely had Denver winning this series, I don't think anyone had Miami winning the series. In saying that, if you did, there's no way you had it this way. Like, even the smartest of the smartest didn't have it this way. Like, there's just no way you had it this way. The Lakers getting swept. And Miami sweeping Boston, like, you just didn't, it didn't follow the script. How great have the playoffs been so far? You've heard me talk about all of these matchups, and it's only going to get better. If you're in a city that's still in it, you have to experience this for yourself. I know you've heard me say that, but I promise there is nothing like a playoff game live and in person. And Game Time is the way to get there. For last-minute amazing deals on tickets to your favorite NBA team, check out Game Time, the fastest-growing ticketing app in the U.S. And it doesn't stop with the NBA. Game Time has tickets to MLB, NHL, even concerts and comedy shows, too. Download the Game Time app and redeem code GREEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download the Game Time app and enter code GREEN. That's G-R-E-E-N for $20 off. No matter where you live, get out and have some fun this week. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. We're talking scripts. That definitely wasn't the script. So for all the script lovers out there, burn, the script has been burned. Like, it definitely didn't follow the script. No, but seriously, I mean, I'm shocked. Like, I definitely thought that there was a chance that the Nuggets could win the series. Like, they're the number one seed all year. So you thought there was a chance, but I didn't think that they would sweep the Lakers. I'll tell you what, though. I knew, I mean, obviously down 3-0. But even before 3-0, 2-0, I knew it was some trouble brewing when I start seeing tweets like, Mo Bamba will be back. Like, Mo Bamba will be clear soon. Like, what? Like, listen, Mo Bamba's a good basketball player. Take nothing away from Mo Bamba. But Mo Bamba has missed, like, the last 4 or 5 weeks, at least. And Mo Bamba has never played in the playoff game. Unless I'm just crazy, I don't think Mo Bamba has come near the playoffs. And so, like, to think that Mo Bamba was going to come back and be the savior, when I saw people tweeting, like, Mo Bamba expected that Mo Bamba going to be available, I'm sitting there looking like, no way this reserve, like, this is what this has come down to. Mo Bamba coming back? That has zero playoff experience. He's about to come back in the NBA conference finals and have an impact? Come on. Now, who did have an impact was Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson came in. He gave complete energy. When I saw the Tristan Thompson ISO with 1:40 to go in the third quarter, it was like, whoa. I got a lot of love for Double T. Draymond Green Show alumnus, NBA champion, works his ass off, always have. Got nothing but love and respect for Double T. But when I saw the ISO with 1:40 to go, and I'm like, yo, come on. Like, now, from there, and Double T went on to do what he does. You know, he rebounded. He made energy plays. And ones off drop-off. Defended. The one possession really stuck out to me where he stopped and then got back and forced the air ball from Joker. He had another play where Bron ended up getting a foul on Jeff Green on the offensive rebound. Jeff Green was offensive rebounding, where he played great defense. Like, he brought great energy to the floor. And Tristan Thompson is like he's a part of the much bigger problem in the NBA, which is, like, you just watched Tristan Thompson for all the 5-6 minutes, maybe 8 to 9 minutes in this game. And, like, you can't tell me that guy is not a serviceable NBA player on 20 other teams in the NBA. And yet he spent the entire year not on a team. When you got teams struggling with leadership, struggling with veteran presence, struggling with people with winners' mentalities, and, like, you had that guy sitting the entire year, that is actually a huge problem in the NBA. It's why we see a lot of the things we see as far as, like, off-court issues, because there's no veterans. There's no veterans showing these dudes how to move, showing them the way. So you think you're just going to go young, and you think that's just going to work. Like, that shit don't work. And so Tristan is a part of a much larger issue in the NBA. Like, we, like, come on. And, like, let's, after this season, free agency will start July 1st. No one will be calling Tristan Thompson's phone. But you'll be employing these bums. It goes back to the conversation that DeMar and PG was having on PG's podcast, maybe this week or last week, when they were discussing Bron's tweet. And I agree, like, there's so many dudes in the NBA that don't know how to hoop, that suck, that don't love the game of basketball, all of that. And, like, then you got, like, a Tristan Thompson who's serviceable. You know what you're going to get. Going to rebound on both ends, going to defend, going to screen, going to dive. That's what you get it. There's teams that can use that. And then also you tackle on the veteran presence that teams that need that. So that was my thoughts on that. Something that happened when Tristan got the and one, like, no one, Tristan was hyped. Like, nobody else on the Lakers was hyped. And, like, that's not some issue where it's like, yo, they don't bang with Trisha. Like, let's not be messy. That was more of like, they didn't believe anymore. Like, you could see they didn't believe. Like, the spirit wasn't there. Bron came out, man, 40. I think 10 boards, 9 assists. And 31 in the first half. And he was gas. He left it all out there in the first half, had nothing in the third quarter. And in turn, that was his point. Like, they were up 15, right? Remember we discussed they need a heavy dose of Bron pick and roll, of Bron on the ball, of Bron making everything happen. But let's face it, the reality is this guy's 38 years old in his 20th NBA season. How much of that can he really give you? So then you need Anthony Davis to take the game over, right? Like, that's like, because Bron can only give you so much of that at 38. And like, AD didn't. AD, to me, looked gas. Bron looked gas. That team has been on a playoff run for 3 months. Since the trade deadline, they've been on a playoff run, like chasing the playoffs, trying to get there, climbing uphill. It was very similar to us. Like, I think back to like January, where we're like, yo, we can really make a push for the playoffs right now. And like the whole way from then, it's like playoffs. Like, let down this game because we could have put ourselves in this position, let down that game. And like, so that team looked gassed. They looked exhausted. They looked like they didn't believe anymore, but they looked absolutely exhausted. Bron, like I said, had the incredible first half, and it was just nothing else there. I thought Schroeder did a great job in the second quarter of once he picked up that third foul of continuing to defend and not picking up another foul. That was a huge reason why they had the 15-point lead. Schroeder was doing a really good job defensively. And no, he wasn't going to lock Jamal Murray down. Like, you're not locking guys down. By the way, for all of y'all out there that was like, oh man, the Lakers lost and Draymond won't do a podcast. Like, I play for the Golden State Warriors. Some of you people are so pathetic in like the beliefs you allow yourself to believe. And I can absolutely understand why life don't be so great, because the beliefs that you allow like to enter your mind about someone else really is a reflection of what you believe and think of yourself and like how you operate in things. So I thought that was a very interesting thing that people were like, oh man, they lost. And like, Draymond don't want to talk. He's hurt. Like, what? But actually, I'm on vacation and having a margarita. So cheers to all of you. Margarita made with Lobos tequila. Absolutely incredible. But like I said, anyway, toast to all of you that was your whatever. However, a lot of people better be lucky I took the weekend off. It was actually my first weekend to have an off. Like, first weekend having, like, completely off since September. Like, no work. Like, I know you all know, like, I do, basketball. Like, that's my day job. But, like, podcasting is a job, too. And so, like, I have not had a weekend off since September. So we took this weekend off. And Jackson kind of forced me to take the weekend off, which I was kind of pissed off about, but I let it ride. So y'all can blame this on Jackson, who probably didn't want me talking because he knew I had some things to say about them Boston Celtics. And boy, we still gonna get to that. But anyway, back to the Laker game. Down the stretch, I was shocked that the Denver Nuggets didn't go back to that Jamal Murray Joker pick and roll that they diced the Lakers up with at the end of game 3. They didn't really go to that. They went to more of a set where Murray was popping up top off. He was setting like a UCLA screen. For those of you who don't know, UCLA was famous for setting the screen up the lane. Like, so the guy goes up the lane line. He sets a back screen for the guy to come off on the lane line. And so they were setting that, and Joker was going to the post. Jeff Green was on the wing, or Aaron Gordon was on the wing, and Jamal was popping up top. And that's the play they went to down the stretch that caused all kind of trouble for the Lakers. And when the Lakers needed most a stop, AD had a very tough time with Joker this entire series. And when they needed to stop the most, he had AD iso'd and he scored. But he had a very, very, very tough time with Joker this series. And I spoke about that at the beginning of this series, just talking about how moving AD away from the rim, Joker would be able to cause AD some issues. And when he did, he definitely caused AD some issues. I thought AD came alive later in the games, a couple big blocks, a couple big offensive rebounds, drop-offs, shots, floaters, dunks, getting to the free throw line. I thought he really, you know, gave a push, a great push there towards the end, but a little too late, because if he had that same force as Bron was rolling, they could have really extended that lead. They were up at 15 at halftime, got outscored by 21 points in the third quarter. And a bulk of that was just Bron off the ball and watching everybody else work, because, again, to do that for 48 minutes, it's hard for someone of average age in the NBA. It's definitely hard for someone at 38. And so at the time, they needed that the most. When the game started getting away, they just, there was nowhere to pull from.
So when something like that happens, obviously they need Bron on the floor, but they, but Bron would have been better off getting like a minute rest here, 2 minutes rest there. What's the calculus as a coach? You're obviously not a coach, but what do you, if you're going into this game thinking about, can you get Bron some rest here and there? Like, is he that much more effective with the rest? Is it worth it to get in the rest, or is it worth it to be, for him to be a little bit more tired, but at least on the floor doing his sort of micromanaging of the game?
So what you end up going up against is, like, you also have players who are competitive as shit, and like Bron may be telling you, I'm not coming out of the game. And what you going to do? You're going to sit him? Like, that could create some bumping of heads. And if LeBron James say, I'm staying in the game, like, you got to leave him in the game. Now, personally, a couple minutes of rest may help, but it can go all the way wrong as well. And once you see it start going wrong, you can't then say, once they're on the run, well, actually, we're going to take Bron out now because looks like he needs a little rest. Well, they're starting to run now, and the only chance we have to stop that run is Bron eventually taking the game back over. And like I said, there was just nothing there to draw from. I think another issue that they had is Aaron Gordon was active as hell. So whereas Bron was sometimes Aaron Gordon guarding Joker, guarding Michael Porter Jr. at times, guarding Jamal Murray at times, Aaron Gordon had a huge game after having some terrible games this series. Very tough game, a few tough games for him. The biggest game, he stepped up. Like, the closeout game, that's the hardest game to win. And he stepped up. He hit three threes where they're playing off of him, total disrespect, and he knocked three of them down. Down the stretch, he put so much pressure on their defense with his dives to the rim, because you had to have Jamal, AD and Bron in the action with Jamal and Joker. And then on the backside, you got Schroeder, you got Reeves. I think you had Rui at one point. But my point is, you didn't have your size on the backside. So then on the backside, Aaron Gordon's diving to the paint, and he's ending up, like, one time he started diving to the paint. Schroeder kind of came off his body because he knew he was dead, so he was anticipating the switch. But it's one thing if that's Bron or AD he's switching with. It's Austin Reeves. So Austin Reeves switching there against Aaron Gordon, he's dead. And so that really hurt them. And his pressure on the rim put a lot of pressure on their defense, because they're two guys that can protect the rim were in the action. So there's no backside help. And Aaron Gordon took total advantage of that. Had a very big game, and those guys were able to put the Lakers away. When I do these, I have this rundown for all of you who's checking this amp out, and Jackson sometimes has these questions on here. And one of the questions that Jackson has on here is, what do the Lakers do now? It's interesting because you have Rui is a free agent. You got Austin Reeves as a free agent. I know for certain Austin Reeves is restricted. I think Rui may be restricted too.
I'm pretty sure they're both restricted.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is as well. And so you got that. You got D'Lo, who's a free agent. Obviously, Schroeder's a free agent because he didn't. He signed a 1-year deal. And as I said some episodes ago, maybe during at the end of our series, like, Dennis Schroeder going to deserve to get some money. And it'll be interesting to see, like, if people would just follow that narrative of when he didn't take the contract with it. Because once you end up on a minimum, it's hard to get off. Like, in this league, it's hard to get off a minimum once you're on that. And the reality is he outplayed it severely, like, dramatically outplayed it. But it's hard to get off. So another team just like, oh, we can wait around and probably get him on a minimum. And you're waiting on one team to jump. Quite frankly, I think he's very good for the Lakers. And Darvin Ham really, really, really trusts him. Really trust him. And so, as you can see by the start tonight. So they got some decisions to make. Where do they go from here? I think they're definitely bring Rui back unless he gets some crazy offer sheet that makes it tough to match. I think they'll bring Austin Reaves back, but I think they'll want to lowball Austin Reaves. And I think if he gets a crazy offer sheet, like, can you then bring him back? If you don't bring those guys back, how much cap space does it open for you? And does it allow you to go out and get someone, i.e. Kyrie Irving sitting on the sidelines again? Can you get Kyrie? If so, at what number, at what amount of years? Because those are some of the issues that Kyrie's going to be up against. As we all know, Kyrie is a super max player. Kyrie's incredible. But, you know, the things have been the things, and I'm sure people will answer those questions, ask those questions when deciding on a deal. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I know they'd love to have both of those guys back, but then if it's at the cost of, like, oh, we can get Kyrie Irving and not, then you got to fill out the roster still. You still got Vando coming back. Obviously, AD and Bron. So we'll see. It's interesting for them as it is interesting for a lot of teams. It's going to be I think every time we say we're going to see a summer of a bunch of movement in the NBA, like, no one moves. But I think this is going to be like a crazy active summer. Like, it's just so many decisions to be made. And with these, like, salary cap spikes coming up and, like, you know, new TV deals and super maxes being reached, I can see a lot of movement this summer. I would not be shocked. I would be shocked if it's not a lot of movement. But like I said, it always happens that way.
Anyway. I feel like it's more exciting with the movement for the summer, because there's going to be a lot of movement and it's going to be a lot of the big teams. Warriors That's have a lot of thing. Decisions to make. Lakers have a lot of decisions to make. Phoenix. Celtics seem like now they have some decisions to make. Two of those four teams are in the conference finals. It's not just like, oh, who are the big free agents going to sign to on these medium tier teams? Not to cast any dispersions, but it's like the big players in the NBA have huge decisions to make.
Oh, for sure. And then you got teams like a Dallas that have, like, superstar talent on their team that maybe weren't as good of a team or whatnot, but I got superstar talent and always feel like you're one right piece away when you got superstars. And so there's a lot of decisions to be made. And I think because of that, there will be a lot of movement. And it'll get interesting. We'll see what happens. But anyway, that is it for the Lakers on their season. And yeah, man. Denver punished them boys. God, get your brooms out.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
That's a wrap on that one. Now let's get into this Heat Celtics thing, because as you all know, I'm always watching the game within the game. Like, the game is cool, like, and it's fun, and it is what it is. But the game within the game, like, that's the fun part. And there has been some games within the game in this Boston-Miami series. Number one, Grant Williams. Grant Williams started talking crazy to Jimmy Butler. Grant Williams then got destroyed by Jimmy Butler, not only in game two where he starts talking crazy, but then Jimmy Butler is at you every time you end up on him. And it's not ending well for Grant. And you know when you know it's not going well for something? After the game, Grant started talking about, man, my mama and my daddy taught me to do this, and I can't go back home with my mom. And I'm like, my man started talking about the morals and values that he grew up on. Like, bro, you just got dropped off by Jimmy Butler. Like, we didn't question how you was raised, my dog. And when I saw that, I said, whoa, this man is talking about what his parents taught him. Like, that, like, wow. And I respected the way he stood up, right? Like, They were losing the lead. Energy was gone. Like, he hit Trey and started talking crazy. As much as we all want to blame Grant Williams, that ain't Grant Williams' fault. Like, Grant Williams supposed to do that. Like, your dog's got to come, like, hey, feed off that, let's go. So as much as we want to blame Grant Williams, like, yeah, bro, you're an NBA player, and, like, you was in the game, and you be talking big shit, Grant. So, like, when you do that, yeah, you do got to stand on that. And, of course, you're going to hear it. Like, ain't no passes. But, you then need JT and JB to, like, come on now. Like, turn it into gear and cover your man. And when I saw JB after the game, they asked JB about Grant and poking the bear or whatnot. And he said, next question. To me, I'm like, oh, they done. Did I think it would be a 30-point blowout in game three? No, of course not. Like, but I'm like, yo, they done. He said, next question. They done. Like, even if, and, like, again, Grant Williams is his own man. You got to stand on your own 2 feet. But in JB's situation, even if, like, you still ride with your man, be like, hey, he started talking. Jimmy played well. Like, it is what it is. We gotta do what we got to do to win. You can't next question it, JB. Because that was the mentality that their team took on in game three. Like, next question. Next game. Next play. This is it. Like, that's a mentality. And so you can't necessarily do that. And again, not that it's JB fault that Grant started getting dropped off. Grant, that's on you. You got to cover for yourself. You start talking. But you could tell that there was more there once that happened. And I'm sure Miami, he saw that. And it looked like they feasted on it. Duncan Robinson made every play for like a 4-minute stretch. Assist. Drive, kick out assist, drive, lob to Bam, Tracy, layup, another layup. He made every play for like a 3-4 minute stretch. And it's going to get interesting because, you know, people's talking about Duncan Robinson contracting. Like, people watching this series, like, they're going to move on Duncan Robinson. Like, Duncan Robinson just created value for himself again. So kudos to Duncan Robinson, man. Staying in the fight and playing a great game with 22 points. Gabe Vincent. I played against Gabe. Gabe Vincent is playing like the Gabe Vincent that played against us at Team USA when he was playing with Nigeria and they beat us in the exhibition game and they act like they won a gold medal. Mike Brown was coaching them. And we were all out of shape trying to get in shape. We had like 2 days of practice and then we scrimmaged against them. Anyway, them boys was balling for Team Nigeria, and they beat us. And Gabe Vincent, the way Gabe Vincent was playing in Team Nigeria, that's how Gabe Vincent is playing for the Miami Heat. And he is playing well, creating a bunch of value for himself. I am sick of the undrafted players. Like, stop disrespecting them dudes, man. They tie their shoes up like everybody else. They get paid to play this game like everyone else. Whether you was drafted 1 or 60 or undrafted, once you get between the lines, what are you doing between these lines? And we've seen number 1 picks be bus. We've seen number 2 picks be bus. We've seen number 30 picks be bus. So, like, stop with the whole undrafted thing, man. I'm sure those guys get tired of hearing that because I get tired of hearing it. Like, all right, they were undrafted. Like, great. I understand, like, it's probably, like, the underdog story, right? Like, I get it. But, like, they were the 8 seed, and they almost lost both play-in games. That is enough underdog story in itself. They getting it out the mud. You got to give them guys credit, man. Jimmy Butler, Bam out of Bayou, they doing it. Now, back to the games within the game. Jimmy Butler with the timeout celebration, and Al Horford was hot. And I thought that was hilarious because Al Horford, I'll never forget, Al Horford did my flex on me when he got an and one when they came back in game one. And what did I do? I politely gave it back in game two. But, like, guys don't like when you dish back what they give. You know what I'm saying? So Al Horford, like, be sneakily talking shit and, like, mocking people in the celebrations. And Jimmy hit him with the timeout joint, and he was ready to fight. That's what it looked like he was ready to do. He started walking towards Jimmy. I thought that was hilarious. That was hilarious because, again, you can't get mad when you dished it first in game one prematurely and then somebody dish it back and it ain't going so well and you get mad. Can't do that. So I thought that was funny. I saw a clip today, and I don't know if it was real. There's so many AI-generated things today. You can never be so sure. But I saw a clip where they said it was Marcus Smart saying to Jimmy, stop talking. We beat y'all last year. We beat y'all last year. Stop you talking the whole game or something like that. And, again, I don't know if that was AI-generated because I can't see Marcus Smart's face. Like, I don't know if Marcus Smart's really saying that or not. But if it's not AI-generated, like, you, like, we all talk about the past. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'll hit somebody with a 4. Like, Clay hits you with a 4 in a heartbeat. Like, so we all gonna, like, talk about the past. But I don't know if you can say, man, you need to stop talking. Like, you almost asking for a way out. No, Marcus, like, dive in that. Because that's what you be in. So it ain't no stop talking. No, I'm gonna stop you from talking some type of way. I can't ask you to stop talking. So I don't know, man. I think these little games within the game for me have been fun to watch. And the Celtics quit last night. They definitely quit. And I'm going to be quite frank with you. I don't expect much more tomorrow. Like, they just ain't got it. Like, they ain't got it. Like, the fight is gone. And so I don't really expect much more tomorrow. And, like, watch Dell win the game and be like, we saw the Celtics. I don't expect much more tomorrow. They quit. Miami went and took their heart. And now, remember earlier in the show, I was saying, like, the last 3-4 years or something, like, Miami lost to the Celtics last year and was supposed to win, like, seeding, from a seeding perspective, and they lost. And so it had me thinking more of, like, what are the real gaps in between teams in the league? Because that's a team who, Miami, if I'm not mistaken, was number one seed last year. And they lost to the Boston Celtics. Jackson, what did they lose in that series?
They lost in seven because Jimmy took that three, the transition three at the end. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Jimmy missed the shot, right? Jimmy missed the shot. Yeah. And so, like, you think about that, right? Like, they lost in seven. Jimmy had a three to win it. And, like, they right back here and they're dominating them. Like, there's not a huge gap in between those two teams. It's really not.
And the other time they played in the playoffs was in the bubble, and that was also very, very competitive until the Heat sort of took over at the end.
And Bam got
the Bam block, exactly.
Yeah. So, like, there's not some huge gap in these teams. You get caught up in a regular season record. But these teams been battling now for years. There isn't some huge gap. So it made me just, like, take a step back and, like, question, or, like, not question, but just dissect, like, the parity in the NBA. And the crazy thing is, with the new CBA, it's going to be even more. So you all want a parity. I know some of you all are going to be upset that it's a Denver-Miami Heat final. Because all the people that you used to see in there isn't there. The people that you may want to see ain't there. But I'm going to enjoy that final because I think it's going to be a good one. But yeah, Boston done. Before we get out of here, Carmelo Anthony announced his retirement today. And I am, number one, I want to say congratulations on the job. Well done. Career well done. Incredible athlete, incredible basketball player, and even an even more incredible man. You know, what Melo came into this league as, braids, baggy clothes, huge entourage, and what he grew into is admirable. Just the leader that he blossomed into, I respect. Got a lot of love for. I watched Melo since I was 11 years old playing at Oak Hill, and then on to Syracuse, and then on to the Denver Nuggets. And I was lucky enough and blessed and honored to have an opportunity to compete with him in an Olympics and win a gold medal. One of the greatest USA basketball players ever. And obviously, you know, one of the top talents in NBA history. One of the greatest scorers in NBA history. I want to, like I said, number one, I want to say congratulations, but number two, thank you. For me, having an opportunity to play with Carmelo Anthony and win a gold medal with Carmelo Anthony, who I watched growing up. Like, that's a surreal moment for me, one that I never thought I experienced in a way that you embrace me. I can't thank you enough. What you brought to the game, special. One of the special talents that we've ever been able to witness. And job well done. I saw the ad to your son, or the message to your son. I won't call it the ad because that's real. To Cayenne, and man, that's incredible. Like, that's what we do it for. Like, you want to talk legacy? There's my legacy. Like, that's me. That's, like, that's my seed. Like, so you want to talk legacy? There's it. There it is. And I thought that was so special, man. So special. But let me tell you, because you can't say it yourself, your legacy is one of the best to ever do it. That's what the legacy is. You know, they'll try to say championship this, and as a guy who's won championships, trust me, I'm big into that, but championship ultimately don't define whether you were great or not. Carmelo Anthony was great. Carmelo Anthony, superstar. Carmelo Anthony, first ballot Hall of Famer. So you won't talk about the legacy. You'll say, here's my legacy. It's my son. But I'm going to tell you, your legacy is one of the baddest dudes to ever lace them up, come through this league, put that ball in the basket like no other. One of the toughest players I ever had to guard. I'll never forget playing the New York Knicks and David Lee was suspended. So I played a little more minutes, and Carmelo got the ball on like the mid post, kind of the block, like, and he's faced up. Boom, two dribbles into me. Boom, boom. Missed the shot. He's like, that's a fucking foul to the ref. Ref didn't call a foul. We got the rebound. We went down. He came back the next play, went to the same exact spot, did the same exact move. Boom, boom. Made sure he got the foul. I'm like, man, what is this? Like, come on, man. Like, this dude just did the same exact move to me, like, to make sure he get the foul called. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I fouled him a little bit. Like, don't trip. But, like, he was going to make it a point, like, and what I took from that is, like, like, I'm not just going to miss this shot. You think I'm going to just miss that shot without getting fouled? Like, and that taught me something about confidence in the NBA, like, that moment right there. Like, that was early in my career. And it taught me something about, like, being great and confidence. And, man, the opportunity to compete against Carmelo Anthony, like I said, a guy I grew up watching. Honor, brother. Job well done. Congratulations. And the legacy is one of the greatest to ever do it. They can't take that away from you. That's a wrap on this episode of the Draymond Green Show. Until next time, peace.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.